I invite you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to consider verses 15 through 17 this evening. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Let me read the text, and then we'll study it. Therefore, be careful, wise men, but as wise, most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, the New Testament, as I observed a couple of weeks ago, frequently describes the life of a believer in Christ as a walk. 40 times in the New Testament, we find that metaphor, that figure of speech. 3 times in the book of Romans. I think it was 40 times in the book of Romans, 3 times in the Gospel of John, 8 times in Ephesians. We find this expression used. Well, here in our text for tonight, in these 3 verses, the Apostle Paul urges believers to pay close attention to the way they walk through this life. He wrote in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk. I think the King James Version uses the expression walk circumspectly, if I remember correctly. To walk circumspectly means to walk looking around you. And here Paul used an expression that means, the verbal expression, be careful, means to see, to look at something, to pay close attention to something. In some contexts, it means to be aware of something that is hazardous, it's cautionary. It's kind of a wake-up word. Watch how you are walking. Be very careful about it. It's stated as a command, which means that this is not simply one option among several that believers can choose. It's really the only way to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's mandatory rather than optional. It comes along with being a believer that we walk in this way. It requires my personal involvement because this command is in the active voice. It's not something that another person can do to me. It's not something that another person can do for me. I have to do it for myself. And I need to engage in this activity constantly because the apostle used a command, a verb form in the present tense, which describes continuing action. That means that I cannot take a vacation from the responsibility to walk carefully through this world, no matter how brief a vacation that might be. Isn't it a temptation at times for believers just to kind of let the bars down, to relax the standards, maybe to close your eyes instead of watching how you are walking? Basically, God is saying here, no breaks, no vacations from this responsibility that you have as a follower of Christ. The next thing that I would observe is that this admonition is introduced with the word therefore in verse 15. And that indicates that the command is based on what was written in the preceding verses. Because the things in verses 8 and following are true, therefore, walk carefully. Watch carefully how you walk. Okay, so what's the therefore? What is the basis, the foundation for this instruction, this command? Well, when we go back to verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 5, it becomes obvious that we live in a dark world. But we live in a dark world as children of light. people who are characterized by the light. There Paul wrote, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." And his instruction there was, walk as children of light. In verse 9, we observe the presence of spiritual light should produce spiritual fruit in our lives. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. When light is present, that's what it produces. In verse 10, we find that God's will is revealed in his word, so we need to discover and live out the things that please him, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. It is my responsibility, and it implies that God's will is available to us. You know, the question has been asked so many times, what is God's will? Well, it's right here in the New Testament. That's where you're going to find it. You won't find it in a dream. You won't find it in a feeling. You will find it in the written text of the New Testament scriptures. And Paul here admonishes us to walk carefully as children of light while trying to learn to discover what is pleasing to the Lord. So if I want to know what is pleasing to the Lord, I don't have to go ask another person. I can go to my Bible, read the New Testament scriptures, and I can discover in a relatively short period of time what pleases God and what doesn't please him. And then the other piece in verse 11 is, when the light of God's truth shines in our lives, it exposes darkness. In verse 11, Paul wrote, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." That's what light does. It exposes stuff. It brings unbelievers to faith in Christ in the process, with the result that they become light as well. Verse 13, "All things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light." Now, that's the foundation, the basis for the therefore. Those four things at least are the precedent for the therefore. Because those things are true, God urges us, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Did you hear about the two men who bumped into each other on a sidewalk, literally? One of them suffered from severe muscle spasms, leading to very jerky, unpredictable movements of his body whenever he took a step. The other man was cross-eyed. After the collision, the spastic man confronted the cross-eyed man by saying, "Why don't you look where you're going?" Upon which the cross-eyed man countered with, "Why don't you go where you're looking?" I think in spiritual experience, we occasionally witness something similar. Paul wrote, "Be careful how you walk." His language here indicates that there is no room in a believer's daily life for even one foolish step. We're pretty good at excusing ourselves, aren't we? My wife told me at dinner about a conversation she had with a friend who admitted that she cut herself quite a bit of slack when it came to her personal sins. We're pretty good at that. But, you know, this text doesn't cut us any slack. It indicates that there should be no room in a Christian's life for even one foolish step. Now, 1 John chapter verse 9 is still in the Bible. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's part. My part is to watch out how I walk, to be careful how I walk. I do not have one occasion where I can legitimately gratify the desires of my flesh. there is not one occasion open to me where I can legitimately surrender to the influence of the dark world in which I live. I must always keep my eyes open and be careful how I am walking. So our text requires us to approach each decision that we make with serious consideration to avoid a careless or haphazard approach in our actions. I'm responsible then to exercise biblical wisdom in the way that I live all day, every day. Well, how do we do that? How do I carry that out? I think the Apostle Paul identified in verses 16 and 17 a couple of steps that we can take as we walk carefully through the darkness of this world. Step one would be to use every opportunity to shine in the darkness. Let me read verse 16 again. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So where do you see anything about shining in the darkness there? Well, I think when we examine the text of verse 16 carefully, it indicates that walking wisely, walking carefully, involves making the most of your time. The King James Version uses the expression redeeming the time. And it does so legitimately because Paul's language on occasion could refer to getting the best, to getting the most for your money, the best deal available in the marketplace. Redeeming. But it also has this sense of making the most of an opportunity. So how often have you said, I don't have time? Or I don't know how he finds the time or she finds the time. You have a lot of company. Pastor Seth and I were talking earlier today about the fact that people are very, very busy in our world. And that's a whole other subject. I'm restraining myself from talking about it. We're probably busy because of the choices we make, but I'll leave that for another time. People are very, very busy. We engage in so many activities. This verse urges us to use our opportunities to the greatest advantage. And it's not talking about personal wealth or personal position. It's talking about to the greatest advantage in being careful how we walk so that we walk as children of light in a dark world. Well, there's a lot of company when it comes to problems with time management. Time becomes our enemy basically for three reasons. One, we don't know how to manage it. We end up wasting huge chunks of time, minute by minute, you know, just 1 minute at a time, in unimportant, sometimes ineffective activity. Do you know what the figure is for the average amount of television watched by an adult in the United States? I think I heard or read in the last couple of weeks that it's more than 6 hours a day. How productive is that? If that's your problem, then you probably are not making the most of your opportunities. When we do not manage our time well, it's kind of like sitting in your vehicle with the engine running and racing the engine, but the transmission's not in gear. A lot of noise, but you're not going anywhere. Second reason why time becomes our enemy is that we attempt to do more than is humanly possible. We fill our time with good things that crowd out the best things. It's a lot like trying to drive your car with the emergency brake on. And then the third reason that time becomes our enemy is that we waste time through inactivity, producing feelings of worthlessness, depression, knowing that we're going nowhere, accomplishing little, which makes us feel so bad that we waste more time in moping and so on. Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of the late President Franklin D. Roosevelt, had a staggering work schedule. She wrote a newspaper column. She had many speaking engagements. She had numerous national and international projects. Someone asked her one day how she managed to do so much. Her answer was, "I never waste time." Well, God expects us to change the patterns and the thinking that leads us to waste time if we're going to live wisely in this world. We need to use the opportunities that we have to the greatest advantage. Three points here. Letter A, God gives you valuable opportunities. In the New Testament, there are two distinct words that are translated time in our English Bibles. One of them is the word chronos, and we get our word chronology and so on from it. And it refers to segments of time in orderly arrangement. So you can look at your watch and tell what time it is. The other word really refers to the right time. And I think our best English expression is opportunity. The right opportunity. A time that is opportune for something. So this expression in verse 16 does not describe the interval between two points on the face of a clock. In other words, chronological time. It does describe the appropriate occasion for doing something. And Paul says that's what we should redeem. In a Christian's life, it describes opportunities that God gives us to shine as light in this dark world. God wants us then to think of our minutes and our hours and our days as opportunities to be used for His glory. Not just time to fill, but as opportunities that we can use for His purposes and His glory. Letter B, God expects you to seize every opportunity. You know the Latin expression, carpe diem, seize the day? That's verse 16 of Ephesians 5. Seize the opportunity. Make the most of your time. Here Paul used an expression that came out of the marketplace in the Greek-speaking world. And it indicates that God wants us to invest our time and energies in activities that have real value as measured by eternity. We ought then to use our time economically to the fullest advantage without wasting any of it. And letter C, you have a compelling reason to do that. Guess what it is? Because the days are evil. How much darkness is there? A lot of darkness. Just a lot of darkness. Yeah, but we live in such a wonderful area. Beautiful southwest suburban area of the Twin Cities. A police officer was telling me a couple weeks ago about an experience where he was talking with a resident and they were trying to solve a crime that had been committed, and her response was, "In Eden Prairie? Well, there's nothing like that." Well, just schedule a ride along with a police officer for 4 hours and you'll get to see, you know, how much darkness there is in our world. Because of that, every day we are confronted with a wicked world. A world that desperately needs the light. There are so many things that scream for our attention, and so many things that distract us from our mission, which is to shine as light, to walk as children of light. And every one of us has limited opportunities. We have limited time to present Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to unsaved people around us. We need to use every opportunity. it's been interesting to me that I've had opportunity to do that in a men's locker room recently. Not necessarily a place that I would expect, but the opportunity has been there to be light, to share the light of Jesus Christ with some who are in darkness. Did you ever sense that the door was open to talk with somebody about the Lord and then say, oh, I really don't have time? Have that experience? Why do you think the opportunity was there? Why do you think the door was open? Paul says, in essence, here in verse 16, are you going to have another opportunity to talk with that person about Christ? And maybe the question is, do you have time not to talk with that person about the Lord? Well, the second step that we can take in redeeming the time or making the most of our opportunities in verse 17 is to discover God's purpose for your life. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Discover God's purpose for your life. If you're going to make the most of the opportunities, wouldn't it make sense that I would have to find out what God wants me to do? You know, what's his overall purpose for me? And then what is his purpose for me in this situation? And when I discover that, then I will know how to walk wisely, how to walk as a child of light, how to put my opportunity to the best advantage. So this verse teaches me two truths. Letter A, believers may experience disintegration of spiritual discernment. That's an important truth. Do not be foolish. To be foolish means to be lacking in good sense, to be ignorant of something, to be ignorant of how to conduct oneself in a given situation. When I was a young boy, I took some piano lessons and stopped for a number of years, and then when I was a college student, I took a semester of piano in college, and that was helpful. Had to play in a recital. The truth is, if I were to sit down at the keyboard today, I could pick out the melody with my right hand, and I might get some notes of the harmony with the right hand and occasionally hit the right note with one finger of the left hand, but most of you would not be interested in listening. Because whatever piano playing skill I developed at one point has deteriorated significantly. That can happen in our ability to use wisdom, our discernment. Do not be foolish. Christ used the term foolish to describe the Pharisees, who insisted that strict procedures be followed in washing dishes and cups, cooking pots, hands, but they tolerated rapacious greed in their hearts that moved them to rob helpless people, together with other kinds of wickedness. Were they wise or were they foolish? Well, they assumed that as long as they maintained the appearance of spirituality in useless rituals, they would be accepted by God. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus called them foolish. They lacked discernment. Now, the word be here in verse 17 really means to become something, to experience a change that leads to a new condition or status. So Paul wrote, do not become foolish. His command indicates that the spiritual faculty of discernment may atrophy if it's not used regularly. And the result then is that a Christian becomes foolish in the decisions he makes and becomes foolish in the way that he lives. I don't have to rely on the dictionary meaning of this word to affirm the concept. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 provides us with a stunning reminder of the fact that believers who have been saved long enough to be able to teach others may regress to a condition where they themselves need to be taught the ABCs of the Christian life. That's pretty clear from Hebrews 5. And I've seen it happen in the lives of too many professing Christians. You have a Christian who at one time serves God enthusiastically, and then perhaps some discouragement comes into his life. Perhaps a disappointment caused by another Christian, or pain that comes out of his experience in church, somewhere else in life. And what happens? That Christian drops out, stops serving God, makes foolish decisions with reference to his walk in this world. Well, believers may experience disintegration of spiritual discernment. Paul wrote, "Do not become foolish." The other truth that's here in verse 17 is that I may avoid that experience by giving daily attention to discovering God's plan and purpose for my life. And so Paul wrote, "Keep on discovering what the will of the Lord is. Understand." And again, it's a present tense verb. And it means to learn, to develop understanding. Keep on understanding. Keep on discovering what the will of the Lord is. So every day, I need to make a point of comprehending what God desires me to do. Every day, you need to make a point of coming to understand, gaining insight, what God desires you to do, where you are today, with the opportunity that you have. You will not gain that understanding by exploring your psyche or your feelings or taking time off to find yourself. It will come only as you search the scriptures to discover God's revealed will, prayerfully ask God to help you comprehend it, and then to make it your goal to do what God wants you to do, no matter what else happens. And only then will you be able to walk wisely in a world that's permeated by darkness. That's what Psalm 119 means, I think, in verse 105. Many of us memorized this verse in Sunday school or vacation Bible school. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I think that's what the psalm writer was speaking about. So, I have opportunities. You have opportunities. 168 hours a week is the chronological time that all of us share. Our opportunities are going to vary, but God gives every one of us opportunities to shine as light in a dark world. And we need to perceive those opportunities and comprehend what God wants us to do as we apply the truth of Scripture to walking wisely in the darkness. You ever miss an opportunity? I have. I try not to now. But I need to keep my eyes open. I need to watch how I'm walking, if I'm not going to miss them. Let's pray, and then we can break into our prayer groups. Father, thank you for this brief text of Scripture, only three verses, but it gives us such good instruction for life. I pray that you'd help us to see that you have placed each of your children in a specific environment, circumstances where you have a purpose for us. We can shine, or we can put our light under a basket. We can elevate that light, the lamp, to a special niche on the wall so it'll give light to the whole room, or we can put it under a bed. And I pray that you'd help us to be careful to see the opportunities and then to seize them for your glory as we seek to bring people to the light. I pray that in Jesus' name, Amen.